from the Mercy One studio.
Here's to Your Health, a contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Monday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, here's to your health.
Welcome to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and joining me today is Tom Rodemeyer and Dave Friesman, and they're from Rock Valley Physical Therapy. We have you down as a University of Iowa graduate, Tom.
That's correct. I graduated from University of Iowa Physical Therapy School in 2006.
And I bet you can't believe it's been that long ago, right?
I can't. You
don't look old enough to have graduated then. And Dave, welcome back again. It's
Thank you. Nice
of you guys to come in and to join us. We're going to talk about post-stroke rehabilitation. You know, so many people are just stopped in their tracks when a stroke happens, and families are uncertain what to do, and it can be a very, very scary time with the physical symptoms that happen. And I just am excited that you can come in and talk to us. You were saying, Dave, that you don't take the direct referral to do post-stroke rehab immediately. Typically, they go to the hospital, are doing a three-month inpatient rehab, and then they go home, and then they see, you know, physical therapists usually 2-3 times a week. So from there, we're at that point. That's what we're talking about,
sure,
is when they're down the road a little bit more, right?
Right. Yep.
And they're still having some deficits. What happens then?
Sure. And first of all, I think we can acknowledge the great resource that we have in the Des Moines area with Yonkers Rehab and Mercy.
Oh, yes.
Inpatient rehab and even their outpatient settings
yes,
to get these individuals to the point where if they need more outpatient physical therapy, and that may be 4, 6, 8 months down the road, mm-hmm, we've even seen patients that are post-stroke several years.
Right.
And they start to have deficits either with their walking pattern, with balance. They become a fall risk if they weren't already after the stroke. And they may even have some upper extremity deficits that we can work on from a shoulder perspective. So that's where we come into play. And I think have a really nice advantage of seeing these patients when they come in or as they get referred from their physicians, whether that's a likely an internal med physician, which is
neurologist,
the case.
Neurologist. Yeah, the physiatrist, yep, that's in the rehab center.
Right. And yeah, sometimes even when we get to that, you know, post 6 months to 12 months or a year out, sometimes their neurologist or the physiatrist might start to become a little less apparent in the medical picture. And so then maybe a little bit more
back with their family practitioner,
yeah, and internal med. So,
yeah,
but whoever the physician is, the provider, mm-hmm, yeah, it's just such an advantage to create that medical model for these individuals to help them along the way.
Well, rehab is a significant portion in that. You know, when somebody has a traumatic brain injury like a stroke, certainly it's an emergent situation typically. They're going in through the ER, right? And then all of a sudden there they are up in the hospital and they're being discharged, mm-hmm, over into rehab. And I mean, that's a lot to take in. I can't imagine myself having that happen. But I do know just in watching my mother's own case in her 80s, which is quite old, and having a stroke and trying to regain, it was phenomenal to see what the physical therapists were doing with her. I mean, one time I came in and here she is between the two bars and she is playing catch. She's standing on a half moon ball. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
She's never done this in her life. She's 87 years old. And all of a sudden, sure, I mean, my face probably looked like just shock because I'm thinking, Mother, you have never even stood on something like that in your whole life. And here you are between these bars standing on this flexible ball and playing catch. And I thought, oh,
right,
my gosh, you know, this is like beyond what you used to be able to do, actually. But tell us about what you've seen with people in your experience in rehab with somebody who's had a stroke and maybe how they've slipped and come in and get specific targeted treatment from you.
Yeah, well, I can't think of a specific example, but, you know, a lot of times we were talking about, you know, especially before we went on the air, about how some of these younger people are having strokes and they really hit a big change in their life. And That's where I think we can help get them to that next stage or back to where they were or close to where they were, that, you know, that they have the goals of returning to a fairly normal lifestyle. And sometimes that's where, you know, especially after the first 4 or 6 months, they're functioning fairly well, but still they haven't met all the goals that they might want to, you know, reach. You know, their doctors may think they've met their plateau or where they feel like they can, where they've met their goals, but the patients may still have other goals. And I think that's where we, in that, you know, four, six, 8 months down the road, can continue to make some progress and hopefully reach further goals.
And that's interesting you say that, Tom, because Peter Levine, who wrote the book Stronger After Stroke, actually says that those plateaus, you know, can be pushed through. And it just depends on the expertise of the physical therapist to be able to address that and help them to be able to. And the motivation piece is huge. How do you feel as far as with your ability in motivating your clients? What do you do to help motivate your clients? Or does that just have to be inside them?
Well, I think one of the things that we take a little bit of humble pride in is when individuals come into our clinic, number one, hopefully they don't feel tension. Mm-hmm. They feel a welcoming atmosphere that's positive, that's pretty upbeat. Mm-hmm. We often get that comment from patients along the way that they enjoy coming in because, number one, they see individuals who may be going through similar deficits or injuries or rehab, and they have somebody to relate to. So they feel that feels like they're in a community.
Inclusive.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so as we take that a step further with individuals that may be post-stroke and we're trying to motivate them, I think seeing other individuals being motivated and working towards a goal is motivating to the patient. But I mean, as a staff, we talk about being positive, working with a smile, talking on the phone to schedule these individuals with a smile and just being very positive, but we have to be motivational as well.
And, you know, when you say talking on the phone with a smile when somebody calls in to have an appointment, that is your first introduction to that center or clinic,
correct.
Right?
Right.
That is so key. And what you hear, if somebody's real short and abrupt, I'm not going to want to go there. So I love that you mentioned that. Answer
right.
the phone with
yes.
a smile. We can all do that, right?
We can, you know, and that's important to us because it, you know, when patients call, when individuals call to become a patient, they're not just working with the therapist. They're also working with our front office staff and our support staff. So each component is important to us and hopefully is important to the patient as well.
Right. Well, I think that everybody wants to feel that welcoming sense. And when you look at positive psychology, that's a big part of it. Right?
Correct.
And then what you're doing as physical therapists is building upon their strengths and addressing their weaknesses. But I don't think it sounds like you're just zeroing in on their weaknesses. You're probably assessing overall and saying, you know, you're really strong here. But, you know, we see that maybe here we might want to be able to work on that area, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I think we always try to focus in on the positives first. And then, you know, then we can, you know, work on the things that hopefully we can improve upon and get them better.
So. You know, I want to be able to talk about what you think are some of your better resources on strengthening people overall. I'm thinking, do you use swimming at all? Is swimming a part of therapy for you?
It sure is. Yes,
okay.
We have a pool therapy program.
Okay, so somebody who, say, is 8 months, a year out after a stroke, and they're saying, geez, you know, just my all-over body is not feeling strong. Is that one of the areas that that you might use in helping them?
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely have that as an option. Now, some people might not like water.
Sure.
And until we can, you know, humbly get them in the water and they can spend a treatment time or two in the water, it's really amazing how they feel after getting out of a pool therapy session and using the buoyancy of the water, the hydrostatic pressure to create a little compression against their body, and the positive benefits of pool therapy. But in the event that somebody might not want to get in to the pool And there are always, you know, the occupational hazards of getting in and out of the pool.
Right.
You know,
right.
And we have to be very careful, and we are. But I think we can also spend a certain amount of on land, in therapy, in clinic time to get a person to be confident enough with their strength and their balance to be able to take that next step if pool therapy is warranted.
Okay. And, you know, I think on one of our other shows, I asked this with one of your physical therapists. You don't have to be a swimmer in order to do pool therapy, right?
You do not. No.
So this is good news
it's
for
great
people,
news.
Right?
Yes. And even if you have a little bit of a fear of water, we are working in waist deep to maybe chest deep water. And as research has it, when you get up to chest deep water and people feel comfortable there, and there's always a therapist with you, mm-hmm. That you take 80% of your body weight away when you're up to chest deep. So that's the buoyancy benefit of water.
Right. And you can do
pain.
More things, right?
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
Especially in a situation with stroke where you may not be able to lift your arm against gravity or you know, gravity can be a heavy thing when you've lost that amount of neurological strength. So that would allow
right.
them to potentially lift their arm or do things that they wouldn't be able to do
outside of the water.
Right.
Yeah. I personally am an advocate for water just overall. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back on Here's to Your Health.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Be Not Afraid is provided by Dream Dirt.
Dream Dirt Farm Real Estate and Auction is a licensed and experienced farm brokerage and auction company. Dream Dirt auctioneers are PRI and CAI certified professional farm marketers and have trained to understand the strategy behind a successful auction or sale. We work to reduce stress and risk for our customers and do not charge advertising fees. Learn more at dreamdirt.com. Dream Dirt Farm and Equipment Auction Services. Farm auctions done right. 515-257-7199.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Lee and Eddie in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscapes. Extend your living space outdoors with patios, pergolas, fencing, and retaining walls. Outdoor lighting is another way to enjoy your landscaping day and night. Five Sons Naturescapes will spend the time to understand your needs and create your perfect outdoor space. Learn more about Five Sons Naturescapes at fivesonsnaturescapes.com. Thank you to Five Sons Naturescapes for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Thank you to Golden Rule for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
At Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, we do our best to serve the people and communities who so generously support us. We try and find some way to give back every single month because we know everyone can use some help. Golden Rule is very thankful for all of our customers and your continued support of us. We would like to wish you and yours a very blessed holiday season.
I'm Bobby from Golden Rule, where we deliver respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service every time you call. We have a standard and we prove it with every job. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you to Bose and the Florist for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio, Dowling Catholic Football, and Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio.
What better way to send a message to a friend or a loved one than a beautiful bouquet of fresh-cut flowers? Hey, this is Tom Bosen from Bose and the Florist. Our family business has been helping Central Iowans send messages locally and around the world for almost 100 years. Whatever the occasion, whatever the message, we can help you say more with Bosen. That's 244 Rose, 244-7673, or visit us at Bosen.com.
Impoverished children break everyone's heart, but poverty seems like such a big problem. What can one person do to make a difference? For 17 years, Blessman International's passion has been to connect the resources of our donors with sustainable programs that impact the lives of impoverished children in South Africa. Our donors are feeding thousands of hungry children every week, providing basic water and sanitation for impoverished communities, and sharing the love of God in practical ways every day. Go to www.blessmaninternational.org and make your donation today.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Welcome back to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and joining me today is Tom Rademeyer and Dave Friesman from Rock Valley Physical Therapy. And they're experts in so many areas, and we're so blessed that they come and join us every month and give us a new topic so that we can get that out to all of our listeners, who we appreciate so much here on Iowa Catholic Radio. But today we're talking specifically about how they work with all age groups in post-stroke rehabilitation. And that's after you've been through your intensive inpatient therapy and maybe some of your home care therapy, but you're still seeing some deficits, right?
Right.
And your direct access as well. Hopefully the physicians are there to refer and to be able to get their patients there. But, you know, sometimes the patients aren't seeing their doctor maybe, you know, as often, and they're seeing some things. So can you give us the phone number again on how they can contact your center, Dave?
Absolutely. So our West Des Moines Clinic phone number would be 515-221-1621. And if you forget by chance, you can always go to our website at www.rockvalleypisinphysicaltisintherapy.com.
Right. And you can also go to www.iowacatholicradio.com and go to our podcasts. You just go to Here's to Your Health, and you can go down and you can re-listen to the podcast and get the information on where to call.
Outstanding.
And get that phone number again, right?
Very good. Thank you.
So one of the things that I thought of, you know, as a health psychologist, that was so tragic was what I was visiting before we went on the program, an 18-year-old who had a stroke, mm-hmm. and who did not want to engage in any therapy, just wanted to stay in bed. And I mean, I can't imagine how overwhelmed you would be as an 18-year-old. So what do you say? There might be parents out there that are listening. They maybe have a family member who's kind of that mindset and say they haven't been able to get into rehab. You know, is there still hope that they can regain, you know, functions if they down the road come back and go to rehab?
I mean, you know, obviously the sooner we get going on something like this, the better. But we always want to encourage people to take advantage of the resources that we have to potentially, get stronger. And I think there's always a chance of making some improvements, no matter where you are in the healthy living or your age. Obviously being younger, I think that always gives you a better advantage to heal.
I do have to say, for those elderly people, I think my mom was 82. Mm. She regained full function, went back home, lived in her, you know, 4-bedroom home, and was able to navigate around after OT went in to see if there were any changes that needed to be. So even I think
that
a lot
great.
Of it depends on your motivation and also, you know, probably your health status prior to the stroke, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah. I think, you know, as we learned in physical therapy school and as we've continued to learn when it comes to like the neurological side of the brain, I'm sure Peter Levine talks about this as well, but the ability of the brain and the nervous system to be plastic, neuroplasticity, right?
Yes.
And so when an individual suffers a traumatic head injury, like a stroke or even a concussion, or if they fall and hit their head and they experience some type of a brain incident, that the ability of the body and the brain, the nervous system to heal is simply amazing.
It is. And we didn't know that.
Correct.
You know, yeah.
Yes. The research used to not be that positive.
Right.
And that compelling about neuroplasticity. Now that's changed.
That has.
And that goes hand in hand with your comment about if we can be a motivating factor for an individual for post-stroke, post-head injury, concussion, whatever that might be, taking the right steps, an individual is going to do better. They're going to start to achieve their potential, mm-hmm. and then they'll see that potential, and that is even more motivating. And so that is so helpful in the rehab setting.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, because psychoneuroimmunology is one of my areas, and think there was neuroplasticity. And it's phenomenal. The brain is such an amazing organ. It's the last frontier in medicine. But I look at Ben Carson. I was just rewatching his movie of Gifted Hands, the neurosurgeon. He took the complete hemisphere of the brain in a child who was having 170 seizures a day and completely removed that half of the brain, and she was fine, able to talk, move, engage, just fine after. In children, this is very different because they have a little bit more of a propensity.
Right.
But still, amazing. You know, it is amazing. Truly, truly amazing. And so those rerouting and the connections of the neurons and the signals, all of that is possible. But I think getting to back to what Tom was saying, you know, we'd hope to get you as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Peter Levine, too, you know, the quicker you can go ahead and get into that rehab, the better for you, for your outcomes. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, no question about it.
Okay. So how do you assess a person then when they come in? Say I walk in the door, I've had a stroke, but I'm walking, you know, and I'm able to sit down. I'm not having a walker. You know, what are some of the assessments that you're going to do with somebody?
I mean, yeah, we're starting that process of assessing as soon as they walk into the clinic. So, you know, the first thing would be, are they using an assisted device? I mean, especially if we're talking about a lower extremity dysfunction, how are they using that that assisted device? Are they using it correctly? Because a lot of times that is not the case.
Those are not easy to use. Walkers, they should have a class on using a walker, right?
Right.
Right, yeah.
Do they?
Yep, and Tom, you make a great point because we see that happen all the time, whether it's post-surgery or post coming out of a facility where there are very good and talented therapists, but it might also be the fact that an individual doesn't like how this walker cane or crutch feels, and they start to mess around with it, and then they come into an outpatient facility like ours, and yes, they are getting judged how they walk the minute they walk in the door.
Be prepared.
Yes, but you know, little changes can go a long way, like Tom was explaining. So,
right.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So yeah, we're watching them walk. Then we're going to do some sort of strength assessment where we're testing the function of their muscles from an upper extremity point of view, from a lower extremity point of view. But more importantly, especially in a patient after stroke, we're going to look at some sort of functional task. You know, the most affected issue would be, you know, are they at risk for falls? How are they getting in and out of a chair? How do they do with like transitional movements? Those are all like functional things that we would be looking at, as opposed to just, you know, purely how strong you are. So there's different functional tests that we would put them through to assess how they do those. And it's also a way that we would potentially assess how they are progressing, because a lot of those are time tests or repetition tests. So we would document how they did on those things. And that's a way that we can assess them later and measure improvement, because that's a motivating factor as well. Mm-hmm. To see, hey, this is how I did day one. This is how I'm doing day 10.
And the other part of the motivation piece, I'm thinking, you know, with stairs, so many people want to be back in their own homes, and stairs can become an issue. And I think back on my mom. We arranged for the occupational therapist to come to the house and do a walkthrough, to just see, you know, how she would be able to maneuver. And I think the physical therapist was with too. But that was done specifically to try to help motivate her to be able to do what she needed to in order to get back home, because she wanted to be home. And I do think most people heal best when they can be in their home environments. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
If possible. And being
yes,
home with loved
sure.
ones, you know, depending on ages and that. But
right.
The stairs can really seem to be a big challenge, right?
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of jumped to the kind of more the objective test, but we would definitely talk to them about like the things that they struggle with inside their home, whether it's going up and down stairs, whether it's
not being able to get in a bathtub anymore,
for sure.
Or even a shower if it has a little, you know, lip on that, you know, where you step over, right?
Yeah. Very true.
Right. But there's a lot of things now that,
things.
You know, they have available, those walk-in tubs that you can use. And
true.
Is hydrotherapy something that's good for people as far as just relaxation and helping them overall? What do you see as far as hydrotherapy? This is just a quick, we're off topic, but I'm just wondering.
Sure.
Hydrotherapy. What do you think as far as hydrotherapy and helping to relax? I'm thinking sometimes muscles can get
So define hydrotherapy,
flexible.
Similar to like pool therapy
in
a home?
Like a jacuzzi tub.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking in hospice, we used to put people into hydrotherapy where we would lower them in the, you know.
Yes.
the equipment that would they could just be moved into, and then we right. would lay them into that. The relaxation that would give was unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. Pain.
It's
hard to argue against that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure how many facilities are able to have that because of cost mm-hmm. and time mm-hmm. to be able to do that. And then
well,
reimbursement,
we were doing
so.
Acupuncture, aromatherapy, sure. hydrotherapy. So yeah,
yeah
I want to go to a place that does
that. That's the best world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are that's a case okay. of the best world. That's great.
Okay, so I asked you about the water therapy. What are some of the things I have seen these bands? Do you recommend these people using these bands for strength training in post rehab?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, okay. yes, but I mean, that would be the advantage of us going through an assessment, and we want them to be safe.
Right.
So safety is the number one thing. So, you know, that's what our assessment and our evaluation is going to do, is going to kind of gauge a feel for what they need to do and what is safe for them to do.
Because you can hurt yourself if you do something like that, right?
Yeah, and I'm not talking just like the resistance band coming and snapping you, but I'm just talking about, you know, we don't want to create some sort of issue with fall or create some sort of injury from
right.
doing something that their body isn't.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of our listeners out mm-hmm. there, and, you know, so many people self manage
right.
their care, right? And they
sure.
see something on TV and they think, oh, I can do that. I'm going to go get this or I'm going to do this. And really the most important thing, I think, is for them to get an assessment, an ongoing, you know,
absolutely.
Ongoing assessment to see where you're at. And that's what you're experts in. I mean, that is your true expertise, is being able to assess and to take a look at the body mechanics, right?
Correct.
And I mean, and that's what I was kind of trying to get at is, like, you know, we can, it's one thing to just move the band, but we're looking for how you're moving the band. If you're, you know, we don't want to create some sort of compensation mm-hmm. Pattern that it mm-hmm. could be negative and could potentially create some sort of injury or pain. It's very possible that they've already, if we're talking about a stroke patient, they've already created that compensation pattern. So we
right.
want to maybe create a normal movement pattern or as normal of a movement pattern as
right.
we can. And if we're adding in resistance bands when we don't have a normal movement pattern, then that is maybe not what we want.
So when we come back from our break, let's go ahead and talk about how people do that overcompensation, mm-hmm. right?
Great.
We're going to be right back on Here's to Your Health.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. A few clouds through the afternoon, but otherwise fair. We'll be in the mid-50s, turning cloudy again tonight with our low in the lower 30s. We've got a pretty good chance of rain by tomorrow afternoon, mid-40s. Weather is brought to you by Rock Valley Physical Therapy. Outstanding outpatient physical therapy and sports medicine rehabilitation. 7 convenient locations in the Des Moines metro and southwest Iowa area. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and visiting with me today is Dave Friesman and Tom Rodemeyer, both physical therapists from Rock Valley Physical Therapy. And you may be familiar to our listeners out there because Dave joins us with people that are of different, you know, different expertise in physical therapy every month. So welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking about overcompensation, and that's interesting because I'm thinking of a friend of mine that was going on a trip and she dropped a water bottle and it broke her toe. And, you know, her husband's a physician and she's in medicine. And, of course, you know, she just was going to tough this out. But what happened is she overcompensated for the toe and ended up doing something to her hip. So tell us about why we don't want to just let things go, okay? Because a lot of people are like that, especially in the Midwest. We're very stoic. So why do we not want to do that? What can happen as a result?
Well, I think, you know, you told a very good example of that in terms of, you know, creating some sort of mild limp. It doesn't have to be something dramatic that, you know, you see somebody walking down the street and you're like, oh my goodness, what happened to them? But it's, you know, if you think about how many times we take a step, and if it's just a slight little change in how we're putting our foot down or how we're leaning, that can create micro trauma over, you know, millions of steps that we've take on a daily basis.
So can that affect our spine? Can that affect, I mean, some of the things that we do where, you know, we see a lot of deterioration in the spine and that. And so if we're overcompensating in certain ways, can we end up injuring ourselves in that way? You're shaking your head,
yes.
Dave. Yes.
Okay. We can. It's, you know,
listeners can't see you shaking your head.
Correct. I think as people start to become more in tune with their body, unfortunately, sometimes that happens a little bit more after injury, or maybe in this case, a post-stroke individual. But you soon learn that there is a direct connection from the ground up, from the chain, foot and ankle to the knee, to the hip, to the low back, you know, the back, the core, which is defined as the foundation of your core, your hip strength, and then your abdominal strength, low back strength. But then you also have your upper extremity, you know, your shoulder blade, which is the foundation of your shoulder, for your arm to work correctly, and then you have your neck. So these things are all connected. So could a compensation pattern in a lower extremity limp affect the back? Absolutely. And that's, you know, I think that's where our expertise comes in, is that even if we look symptomatically at a patient and we try and identify what their pain is, we also try and identify where their pain is coming from, and is that source a compensation pattern or a muscular imbalance that's been going on for a while? And that could lead to a limp. That could be the result of a limp and a trip and a fall. So putting all those pieces together, I think, is where how our education and how our collaboration can really be of benefit to patients.
And let's get your phone number out there again for our listeners, so if they have a question, they can call.
Sure. So our West Des Moines Clinic is 515-221-1621. You can go online as well at Rock Valley, P as in physical, T as in therapy.com.
Okay. Okay. And are you at the West Des Moines Clinic as well, Tom?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yes, yes. Well, it's just something that I think so many people have not been familiar that Iowa is a direct access state as well.
Correct.
And I just, in my mind, I'm thinking that it's really important for people to have that type of an assessment, especially, you know, as we age.
Correct.
I think it's even more important.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, speaking of direct access, we feel very fortunate that we are a state that allows direct access, which is defined as an individual can come into our clinic without a physician referral.
Right.
Within the complexities of Medicare, an individual can still come into our clinic without a physician referral, although that's our ultimate goal, is to continue to have this continuum of great communication.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And talk to the individual's family physician or internal med physician to get that rounded medical model in of physician, therapist, and patient. But also with Medicare, if an individual just wants to come in for an assessment, which we think is important, so we can look at some of these compensation patterns or imbalances, we can communicate with the doctor. Our documentation would support either continued therapy or just that one-time visit. And then as long as the physician signs off on that, it's called a plan of care, then everything is good to go.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think a lot of people just don't have that information, so it's important to get out there. And we want to talk about your program that you have on fall risk.
Correct.
Right. And this is important with winter coming up, I'm thinking, too.
Absolutely.
Many people end up having slips and falls in the wintertime.
Yeah, so we've been doing this for, gosh, since May, I believe, was when we started. So going on like 6 months now, we meet once a week at 12 o'clock. And we have anywhere between 4 and 6, 7 people that have showed up, but we would be happy to have more, and we would be happy to expand that to another day or whatever we would need. But the goal of that class is to run people through some strengthening exercises to hopefully improve their overall function, but also try to target kind of balance and fall prevention type activities.
And I would think all sorts of people would be qualified to be able to come into a class like that.
They are, and they would be, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge is usually two therapists, myself and one other lady, who are kind of running the people through the program. And the challenge is, one, to make things challenging for the individual, but also keep them safe, but also try to make it individualized to them. So I'm trying to think of the people that we have that are coming in right now. You know, we have people that are using a cane or walker, but then we have other people that are, you know, doing some very complex strengthening type exercises.
You know, what comes to my mind is people who have Parkinson's disease, that shuffling gait.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, that's very dangerous, and is a risk.
Absolutely.
For falling, right?
It sure is.
And even as you age, people don't pick up their feet as well.
Right.
And will
right.
trip. Yep. And so this is something that if just as you're aging, you could go in to just get that specific targeted strengthening. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of what we're doing with the balance type exercises are negotiating them around some sort of barrier, whether it's a cone that they're having to
maneuver around
or mm-hmm. We have these small little hurdles or things that require them to have to lift their feet up. And the more they get used to lifting their feet up,
why is that as people age that they don't tend to lift their feet up? Is that a strength issue or is it just a neurological?
I think there's, I mean, I do it, you know, I think our brain is so programmed that we kind of anticipate normal terrain, and if there's any small
deviance
to that, that can be an issue. But in terms to your question about the age, I think yes, it's strength. It's maybe some sort of neuropathy where they are losing some of their ability to know where their foot is in space.
And that's type diabetics,
diabetic,
type 1, type sure. 2 diabetics, and post chemo.
Yep.
Post-chemo,
sure.
I mean, we're talking a lot of people get the neuropathy in the extremities, feet and hands, right? Mm-hmm. So
correct.
You'd have people, do you work with oncologists regarding that for their patients, that if they're experiencing that neuropathy in their feet, that maybe they would get referred over to you? That might be a referral source, right?
Absolutely. They are a referral source.
Yeah, so,
it's just not a common referral pathway. But
okay.
Yes, we educate them on what we do and why.
How about multiple sclerosis? People who are experiencing that?
You know, again, the population is a little slimmer, I would say,
okay.
in that arena.
Okay.
We have seen some patients with MS.
Okay.
And again, it's more about how can we help them with their function, maintain their function, improve their function, their ability to just be active during the day.
Right, because, you know, that's such a loss to grieve if mm-hmm. you're having to give up activities that you were used to.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, you know, that for these people that are listening out there that maybe have had some problems with slips and falls and or just being able to have good balance, and that this is something that you can assess. And, mm-hmm. and I love case scenarios. I love to hear examples. So do you have an example of somebody maybe that you've worked with that was having issues that – how they came out?
I have a lot of the clients that I'm working with in this fall class are people that have maybe started in at with me as a patient, and that's what's been so cool about this is seeing, you know, these individuals get to a point where maybe they have reached a plateau in terms of
the major functions,
the major function things, mm-hmm. but that kind of goes back to, you know, what I was talking about with some of these tests that we can do to like say, okay, when you first came in to see me, you could not get yourself out of a chair without using your hands, and
right.
'cause that's one of the tests that we would put them through. It's called the sit to stand test.
Uh-huh.
So we would have them try to stand up out of a chair without using their hands. So there's this one individual that's in the class right now who we have these little foam pads that so when she first started with, well, first of all, she was having pain as well, but and that could have been part of why she was having some difficulty getting out of the chair. But she was unable to get out of the chair without using two of these foam pads. She didn't have to use her hands, but these foam pads are maybe 2 inches, so we're talking 4 inches of additional space between your rear end and to try to obviously lift your hips off the table or off the chair. As anybody knows, it's easier to get off a higher chair than a lower chair. So,
right.
Now she's able to get up out of the chair without
the foam,
without using either foam pad or her hands.
That's a tremendous gain.
Yeah. It is tremendous gain.
Yeah.
Right.
I would think that she's got to be really happy with that. And so she's in this fall prevention.
Yeah, I hate calling it the fall class.
What do you like to call it?
We're trying to prevent
fall prevention.
Fall prevention or balance
functional
strengthening. That's the goal, is obviously just trying to make people stronger, improve their balance, improve their function, reach their goals. So whether that's not using a cane or not using a walker or getting out of a chair without using your hands.
Right. And I have to say, too, I mean, just from an observation standpoint, I get the joy of seeing how these individuals progress. And I also get to see, we also get to see the joy of the community that's created. Mm-hmm. You know, the first class, you know, the voices are a little bit silent. You know, as we've continued for months, the chatter gets louder, the laughs get more joyous, I would say. There's more of a community. People are feeding off each other, encouraging each other. But you get to see these improvements, and you're right. You know, going from a 4-inch foam pad to sitting on a regular chair without assistance, without using the hands, is huge for people.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I want to encourage the listeners as well. If you're a spouse or a parent, or excuse me, a son or daughter that may have a parent or a family member that may be having some difficulties, or you really question, wow, what would happen to my parent or my friend, whatever the case may be, if they fell? And the fear of falling is incredible, right? In most people.
Right.
Some people have no plan, exit strategy to get up. And the metabolic demand on an individual that has a difficulty just getting from sit to stand out of a chair, rolling in bed to getting up to a sitting position in bed, let alone on the floor, trying to get to hands and knees to crawl to something that's stable enough to get them up to sitting or standing, that's a huge fear. Right. So I just want to encourage the listeners, if you know of somebody that you don't want to see them injured or fall, or with inclement weather coming and you fear that anybody can fall getting in or out of a car, stepping off a curb, but there's help out there, and we can provide that help. We can provide an assessment. We can create a great plan of simple exercises to do that create the foundation that will lead to getting people stronger. And just incidentally, the stronger people get, the better their balance is. The stronger people get, and we challenge them with class like Tom and Jamie have put on, as well as our Ingersoll location also has a class. Mm-hmm. And in West Des Moines, it's every Monday from 12 to 1. But ask the question of, what can I do for my friend or my family member to keep them vertical, to keep them stronger, to allow them not to fall, to give them the resources that they need.
Right. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking, well, how much is this going to cost, right? So is this something that Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance will cover based on the assessment?
Yeah? It is.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing obviously would be determining if they are in need of physical therapy versus kind of this maintenance / continuation of program that we might do with somebody that after they're done with physical therapy, or if they don't really need therapy, which most of the time I would say
people do.
People do need therapy, but so the class, that's kind of the goal with that, is more of like potentially a continuation
off of having hands.
I mean, if somebody is really having falls, and I would say, you know, the other thing is sometimes we don't really know what a fall is. A fall doesn't necessarily mean we're actually falling and hitting the ground.
Sure.
We call it a near fall is anytime you might trip on your feet and have to either use some sort of support, mm-hmm. whether it's your couch, your wall, mm-hmm. to regain your balance. So if somebody's having that kind of issue, I think we probably want to see them in more formal therapy first prior to doing
right.
more of the...
So on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Here's to Your Health.
Thank you to Golden Rule for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
At Golden Rule Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, we do our best to serve the people and communities who so generously support us. We try and find some way to give back every single month because we know everyone can use some help. Golden Rule is very thankful for all of our customers and your continued support of us. We would like to wish you and yours a very blessed holiday season.
I'm Bobby from Golden Rule, where we deliver respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service every time you call. We have a standard and we prove it with every job. Online at goldenrulephc.com.
Thank you to Bozen the Florist for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio, Dowling Catholic Football, and Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamayo.
What better way to send a message to a friend or a loved one than a beautiful bouquet of fresh-cut flowers? Hey, this is Tom Bozen from Bozen the Florist. Our family business has been helping Central Iowans send messages locally and around the world for almost 100 years. Whatever the occasion, whatever the message, we can help you say more with Bozen. That's 244 Rose, 244-7673, or visit us at Bozen.com.
Women who have had an abortion are 45% more likely to have another. At InterVisions Healthcare, we do everything possible to eliminate the perceived need for an abortion in their delicate time of crisis. Our experienced nursing staff seeks to be that soft place to land by providing education, encouragement, and empowerment through our medical services, especially the ultrasound. Since our services and programs are free, we invite you to learn more about ways to get involved in our ministry. Visit ivhcare.org or call 515-440-2273.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Welcome back to Here's to Your Health. I'm Dr. Carla, and joining me is Tom Rodemeyer and Dave Friesman from Rock Valley Physical Therapy. We've been talking post-rehab after you've had a stroke, but we're also talking about balance and fall prevention. And so that's where we were just at right before the break. You want to pick up from there, Dave?
Sure. Sure. You know, as we were talking about individuals that that may be at risk for falling and having further injury, you know, Tom and I were talking about this on the way over, and it's a $50 billion expense for people that fall and get injured in America. It's a huge healthcare expense. You know, the great
say
thing
that with, again. I'm sure people's ears are like, did 50, he just say
$50 billion with a B, not million, but $50 billion.
So the injuries expense. That are occurring and the rehabilitation that follows, just everything that
right.
are they including loss of work in that figure? Do you know?
I don't know if they were or not.
But $50 billion is huge.
That's huge, right?
Yeah.
And there's some preventable aspects to that. And part of the you know the challenge with us, which this is why we're so grateful for you having us on. So thank you. It's just getting the word out there because there are resources out there.
Right.
And we would rather see somebody come in and assess them for physical therapy and maybe do one or two sessions or 3 to 6 sessions, get them to where they want to be, and then transition them to our class, which incidentally is a very nominal monthly fee when they get to that point. And again, the more people that come in and see the joy that people have and the progress that they make, the more they want to invite their friends and bring other people in.
Well, you feel really, you know, the competence, I mean, and just feeling confident that you can navigate and do these things. I know of somebody that she was just telling me she can't get up off of the floor.
Right.
After knee replacement and rehab, all of that, still is having problems, you know, getting up off of the floor. So what do you say to somebody like that, that they've been through knee replacement, they went through all the rehab, they're still doing, you know, some swimming and that, but they're still not navigating where they can get up off of the floor? Can they still improve?
Definitely. I mean, that would be what I would do with that particular patient is I would probably have them get down on the floor and try to
show you how they're navigating.
See how they're doing it. Maybe it's a very simple fix, but maybe it's a range of motion limitation that they still have, or maybe it's a technique, or maybe it's a upper extremity strength issue. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I had a, this doesn't really relate to that, but I had a patient who, after she had a total shoulder replacement, she couldn't put her coat on. So I had her, or she couldn't take her coat off, actually. She could put it on, she just couldn't take it off. So I had her in the clinic. She's actually one of these ladies that is in the fall prevention class as well. But I had her put the coat on, and I was very, it was very difficult for me to try not to help her take her coat off.
Oh,
but,
yes.
But that's what,
I
so,
can relate to
you
that.
Know, that's, obviously we would put them in a safe environment to try to do something that like that in our clinic to coach them through something like that.
So is she able to navigate now?
She cannot take her coat off. Right,
see, and that's what I want our listeners to hear is that there's, you know, just getting assessed and being able to see, is there something that could be done to be able to help you to be able to improve in that rather than just accepting it as status quo and that maybe the physician thinks, well, you've regained these basic strengths and that, but there's still things that you're thinking, I want to be able to do this.
Right.
Right?
You know, and as safe as the home environment is and as motivating as it can be for people to get back to their home, it's also very motivating for people to take my coat off because it hurts. How am I going to walk from point A to point B when it's either slick out or I see that curb? And instead of that 6 or 7 inch curb, it looks like it's a 12 to 15 inch curb. And how am I going to negotiate that? And then to see these individuals walk over 6 to 8 inch hurdles, maybe with some assistance for Tom or Jamie or one of our staff members, forwards, backwards, side to side. And they're actually doing this and they're facing their fear. So we're expanding their world and their boundaries is pretty inspiring, I would have to say.
And a lot of people end up homebound because of fear.
Absolutely.
And so that's what, you can break through.
Again, there's hope. And part of that hope lies within physical therapy. So please call.
And that number again to call
is 515-221-1621.
It's Rock Valley Physical Therapy. And we're talking with Dave Friesman and Tom Rodemeyer, and they're both physical therapists and working in a variety of different areas. So if this isn't your topic, there's a lot of other things that they do. I love Rock Steady with the Parkinson's, individuals with Parkinson's. And, and that's empirically been validated as far as actually slowing the progression of Parkinson's. So
correct.
And people that have Parkinson's have problems with their navigation.
Right. And actually, Dr. Carla, I actually have a patient that does not, he has not been diagnosed with Parkinson's. It's been ruled out, but he shuffles his feet.
Okay.
He also has neuropathy in more on his right side than his left, which means he has a lack of sensation. Mm-hmm. So having him feel through his feet is difficult, but a lot of these people still can have what's called baroreceptors, so they can feel a little bit of pressure, even if they can't have, if they their sensation is gone. So then sequencing becomes an issue. So we work a lot on sequencing of what his step should look like and how.
So explain what is sequencing.
So if we talk about
how
you move to your feet from heel to toe and then actually lifting your foot up off the surface instead of shuffling, because shuffling becomes a safe space for people. They can feel the ground and then they feel more secure even though they shuffle more. Mm-hmm. So
it has
just
to really
sequencing
be purposeful, it sounds
and
like.
Educating and purposeful, yes, sequencing and talking people through this to see these individuals get better. So then their strength gets better, their confidence, their balance, they decrease their fall risk. That it doesn't mean that they might not trip or fall, but it's certainly less than what it would have been if they hadn't come in.
Great. Well, I am just excited to hear that there's such promise. I think that people, you know, are, when you have hope and when you have that ability to have people who are going to encourage you and you can do that safely, that's the key, is that it can be safe for them. You're in a safe environment. And and then, as Tom said, that if this is not just, you know, a general, fall kind of, balance issue, that you can target in and really get at the root cause of what's causing their problem, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So as we put things together, we have our Rock Steady program and our Parkinson support group up in our Ankeny north side of the metro. Mm-hmm. And in West Des Moines and downtown clinic, we have our balance and fall prevention class. So there's a lot of resources out there. So again, just if you have questions, if you have a loved one that you fear could fall and get hurt, please call.
Well, and we have such an aging society that a lot of people are, you know, in this category where, you know, they're aging, maybe they're not, you know, as balanced as what they once were. And
right.
not everybody exercises as much as they really, you know, that would benefit them. So
right.
this is a good way to
yep.
be able to find out what you need to be doing to age in a healthy way.
Right. And Medicare will pay for these services. We get that question a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, what will I be responsible for? Well, if you haven't used any Medicare benefits from physical therapy, and even if you have, if it's medically necessary, they will pay. It might not be much to us, but mm-hmm. that's beyond the point, because mm-hmm. we want to help.
Right. And even if, you know, in your 40s and 50s, I mean, this is a good way to be able to, you know, kind of stave off, you know, having some of those
right.
issues, wouldn't you think?
Correct.
Yeah. So I still think that going in and having an overall assessment is just a great idea. What have we missed that we haven't talked about regarding post-stroke rehab or fall assessment or just having, you know, good balance?
Sure. So I'm going to put Tom on the spot. Tom, what's your top one or two exercises that somebody could do at home to see if they're well enough to stay at home or if they maybe should call?
I would say the first thing and probably the easiest thing to do is to see if you can get out of a chair without using your hands.
I was just thinking, sit and stand,
yeah,
stand,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, so, it's safe because if you do kind of lose your balance, you obviously have the chair.
Should fall back.
Now, I would say if you're going to do that, make sure the chair is up against a wall or something steady so that the chair doesn't go.
So like a
back.
Kitchen chair, would
yeah,
you recommend
yeah.
like a kitchen table chair?
Yep,
okay.
That would be,
put it against the wall.
Yep.
And then how many times are you going to try to sit and stand?
Well, that's kind of related to your age.
Okay.
But, there's a website that you can go to. It's the CDC has it, but it's but through the CDC website, STEADI, STEADI, it's an acronym for Stopping Elderly Accidents, Deaths, and Injuries. So there's a lot of facts and data regarding falls, and there are some normative values in terms of how people do on some of these
and
tests.
You can always call Rock Valley Physical Therapy,
515-221-1621.
And we're out of time. It always goes so fast. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Dave, for joining
us.
And to all of our listeners, here's to your health.
Here's to your health, a contemporary Catholic health program that brings you the latest in healthcare trends and breakthroughs. Join Dr. Carla Calumet every Monday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Live your life for God. Here's to your health.